Welcome to Rambam on the line. Welcome to Perek Shishi of Hilchos Bikurim. Lekech ben anachtem, if you purchase from a baker, chayv v'chala, there's an obligation for chala to be taken. Mavish ben achama, it's an enes ben achama. You can separate the chala from the warm bread on behalf of the cold, or from the cold on behalf of the warm. Filu mitfusim harbein, even from many different shapes of bread. You're only obligated five varieties of grain to give challah. Five grains are wheat and barley and spelt and oats and rye. As it says, you eat the bread of the land. And we call bread only a loaf made out of these ingredients. If one makes a bread out of rice or millet or other such things in the bean family, in the chayavim b'chala klal, he's not obligated to give chal at all. Given a leket v'shikva peva hefka tvush le'vishlish afa bishem p'tum in a truma, the various things that you don't have to give truma for. The leket is the gleanings that fall on the field when you're collecting. The poor can take it. Shikva is what you forget in the field. The pay is the ends of the field you leave for the poor. Hefka is what you declare ownerless. Tvur that did not grow up to a third of its maturity. Even though in all of these cases there's no obligation on truma, chayav aleihem b'chala, there is still an obligation of chala. Since even though the grain was previously ownerless, now when it's being made into dough, it has an owner. So we had a rule previously. If you take the ma'aser rishon, the first tithe, the Levi takes it when it's still in the stalks, before it's been threshed, before the truma's been taken. Even though it still has a part of truma gedola, which the Levi does not have to separate, but as we'll see, the chala does have to be separated. Similarly, the second tithe, or the holy things which belong to the temple, which are redeemed and desanctified. The leftover of the omer sacrifice, which the Kohanim eat, and the two breads that also is given to the Kohanim, the sacrifice brought on Shavuos, the lechem apanim, the so-called bread of the faith, the bread that's brought in the Beis HaMikdash every week. Kishipadu, kol asan amosaras, of all of these extra things are redeemed, all of them are obligated in the giving of challah. We're talking in all cases when these things can be redeemed, that is, that they became tamei before they were actually sanctified, so they're redeemable, and therefore there's an obligation of challah. A dough of the second tithe, the tithe that's supposed to be eaten in Jerusalem. So if you have the dough in Jerusalem, it's a shvius or dough made out of the produce of the seventh year. Usavik meduma, and a questionable case of a mixture of truma. Like there were two baskets, one of truma, one of non-truma, and truma fell to one of them, and we don't know to which it fell. In all of these cases, chayav b'chala, you're obligated to give chala. Aval ameduma pata menachala. The meduma, when it's a forbidden mixture, it's not nullified in 101 parts. One part truma and 100 parts non-truma. When that doesn't happen, there is no obligation in challah either. Even though, read it by Torah law, it is nullified. It's a rabbinic law that it's not nullified unless you have 101 parts. Nevertheless, so is, even though that's rabbinic, so is challah. Challah nowadays is rabbinic in any case, and therefore they declare that if it's a forbidden mixture, you cannot, you need not take the challah. Challah tzadur kiki nazir, the loaves of the Thanksgiving offer, and the also the different kind of loaves of the nazir, the Nazirite brings when he brings a sacrifice. Salat of tumah challah mevishin kodesh. If he made it for himself, it's free of challah, obligation of challah, because it's holy. The makom b'shuk, if he made them in order to sell, l'nazirim makrivetoda, for the Nazirites and people bringing the Thanksgiving offerings, chayav machala, they are liable in challah. Why? Isn't this for sacrifice too? Well, the reason is the fish of b'dayt Hashem le'simacha yichlan. Because he has in mind, if he won't be able to sell it, he will eat it. So therefore, it's not considered totally holy, and it has an obligation to give challah. A del of partners, or if someone makes a del for many people, it's obligated to give challah for it. If you make a del from untithed grain, whether he first separated the challah and then the truma, or first the truma and then the challah, mashal also what he did is valid. If he separated the challah first, you should not eat it until you take on behalf of that challah truma plus truma smaiser. If he set aside the truma first, he should not eat it until all the challah part is separated on behalf of the truma. If you make a dough to feed the bread to an animal or a wild beast, it's free of obligation. The dough that is fed to the dogs, if the shepherds eat some of it too, he has the challah, obligated to give challah for it. He says, a gaib Torah. The dough of a non-Jew is free of the obligation of challah. How you solve a great shift from Bisa? If a Jew and a non-Jew were partners in a bread, why you bechelik Yisrael shir Yisrael chayevus bechala? If there is, in the Jew's portion, the minimum amount of size that's obligated in challah, harezu chayevus bechala, then it is obligated in challah, even though half of it is the non-Jew. You had gaib shifrit challah filo b'ez Yisrael. If a non-Jew set aside challah, even in Israel, in a challah it's not valid, it's not challah. And I'm adin also shetach, she'en otzarech, you tell him that it's not necessary for him to give challah, can be eaten by a non-Kohen. Why aren't we afraid that maybe it really belongs to a Jew and the Jew is making it look as if it's the non-Jews who shouldn't have to give the challah in order to free it from challah? If the Jew wants to, he can make himself free by simply making the dough smaller than the minimum size of challah. If you mix wheat flour and rice flour and make a dough. Mieshva tamdogan, if it has the taste of the wheat, chayvus b'challah, then you're obligated to give challah. But if not, Torah, you don't have to give the challah. Even if the sourdough was wheat and the dough itself was all rice, mieshva tamdogan chayvus b'challah, v'mlav Torah, if it has the taste of the grain, that is, of the wheat, it's obligated, and if not, it's not. If dough was kneaded with wine or honey, or oil or honey or hot water, or he put spices into it, or he cooked up the water, and he threw the dough into it, when he kneaded it. If he baked any of these things, whether it's in an oven or on the ground, or on like a frying pan of some sort, or a pot of some sort, whether he first attached the dough to the pot or pan, and then heated it up with fire on the bottom, till the dough was baked, or whether he heated up the pan first and then added the dough, in all of these cases, you're obligated to give challah. If you make a dough for it to dry out in the sun, only to cook it, then it's free of the obligation of challah, because something made by the sun is not considered bread, whether it's kneaded with water or with other liquids. Similarly, the toasted grain that is kneaded with water or honey, and then you eat it without it being baked, Patra is free of liability for challah. Because the obligation is only a bread that's going to be baked in the form of bread for human consumption. If you kneaded the dough in order to bake it in the sun, then he concluded it and decided to make it regular bread, or he started off to make it bread and then he decided to make it in the sun, in Kali Shalosh Shalafos Apas, or the toasted grain that was needed in order to bake it as a bread, all of these cases, chayav and b'challah, are obligated in challah. If a bread is made to be used, kutach is a dairy preparation that has like a kind of sour milk plus breadcrumbs in it. So Masem Achichin Allah, the way it's made shows what its status is. Asal Ka'achin Chayavas B'chala. If you made it like very thin wafers, you're obligated to put challah in it, because then it's considered like a bread. Asal Kelimudim, if you made it in small, separate, little pieces, where it's very clear that he's intending it only to put into the kutach and not to eat his bread, tumin achala, then it's free of obligation of challah. Tezvav kamashir ayisha shchiyavas b'challah, what is the amount of the dough that is obligated in challah? Mlo omer kemach, a full omer's worth of flour, bein me'achad mechamisha minim bein mechamishtam, whether it's one of the five varieties or all five. For the mitzvah l'shir, they all add up to make the amount of the challah. Now, how much is this omer? Shnei kavim pachas chomesh, two kav minus a fifth. A kav of alugim, and a kav is four lugim. A log of revias, and a log is four revias. For revias and four quarters. And each revia, each quarter, etzbayim al etzbayim brom etzbayim, v'chatzi etzba v'chomesh etzba. In cubic measurements, it's two fingers wide by two fingers long, by a height of two fingers and a half and a fifth. In other words, six-fifths. Excuse me, that is seven-tenths. We're talking about a half of a of an etzba and a fifth. So you convert that into tenths, it becomes seven-tenths. When we talk about fingers, we mean the width of the thumb of the hand. It comes out like this. Amida shishbo, esra etzba, salesra etzba, brom shalosh etzba, shishia etzba, bekeru for omer. That an omer is 10 fingers by 10 fingers by approximately the height of three and a ninth fingers. That is the omer. Or another way of measuring it is if it has 7 fingers minus 2/9 by 7 fingers minus 2/9, brom shavatzbas pachnei chi etzba, with the height of 7 fingers minus 2/9. He means this omer, that's the amount of the omer. So the Rambam gives you it in a square to make it easy. Shteminis kechad hemolim. These two measures, the way I explained them, the Rambam says, are equal to the same thing. Tamim mechila midazu. Now, how much does this measure contain? Barim shalosh beitzim beinanis v'chomish beitzim. It's about 43 and a fifth regular eggs. The Mishkel Shisha Shmonim Slayim, that's in weight, 86 Sela, Shnei Shlishi Sela, and 2/3 of a Sela. The Kamach Achitim Shevetzrayim, of flour of wheat in Egypt. She Mishkel Chamesh Meses Srim Zuz, Mizuzim Yitzrayim Azman Azeh. That equals 520 Zuz of the Zuz coins of Egypt in the time that this was written. And a measure that holds this weight of wheat flour, and that is the measure that you can use to always figure out how much challah you need, how much is the shear for challah. A person is not supposed to make his dough smaller than the required amount in order to free it from challah. If you separate challah from a dough smaller than the required amount, loss of klum, it's meaningless. Ve'echulin kishayisa, and it's nam holy as it was before. Asi sabchus megashir v'afav nos napas l'sal. If he made a dough smaller than the amount, and he baked it, and he put it into a basket, because of apazacher nos l'sal, then he baked another bread and put it into the basket as well. Miskavet l'sal shir challah. All together in the basket, there's the amount for challah. Asam v'tzav l'challah. The basket adds them up together to be obligated in challah. And he separates the challah from the bread. Shnemez, it says, it will be when you eat of the bread of the land. That teaches you even he can separate challah from what's already baked. However, the oven itself does not make them join together for the amount of challah. If the breads were touching one another, and all together there is the amount of challah. They're obligated in challah, for pisha and basal, even though they're not in the same basket. Offer miat miat, he baked a little at a time. The kavod kol aluach shein lo toch, and he put it all on a board that has no inside, just a flat board. It's a subject of the question. Challah to the vrem, if challah is in a case where it's rabbinic law, and a chayv lafashet yitzar vos a kli sheish lo toch, then he's definitely not obligated till it's joined, not with a flat-surfaced vessel, but with a vessel that has a receptacle, that has an inside to it. Chaz kemosh shel rikdu al alosha besubin shelo, unsifted flour that is made with its all of its bran still in it. Ovish v'chal kemach omer, if the entire flour has the measurement of an omer, chay v'chal, it's obligated in chala. If he removed the bran from the flour, and then he made the shear by putting back some of the bran, that he returned to the flour, and a chayv v'chala, it's not obligated in chala. A baker who made dough to make it into sourdough, machalko, in order to divide it into small pieces, still it's chayev v'chala, it's obligated in chala. Because if he doesn't sell it, he will make it into bread. If you make a dough to divide it into separate loaves of bread to give to different people, and each loaf is smaller than the minimum size of challah, p'turah, then it's free of the obligation of challah. If women gave a baker flour with which he's supposed to make sourdough, if none of the flowers themselves has the measurement, even though he puts them all together and all together there's a measurement, petura, it's free of obligation of challah, because here he's definitely going to separate them and give them back to the women who hired him to make the sourdough for them.